Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It wasn't really until last night, as I was doing this sermon at the Saturday night service, that I was thinking, you know, maybe not everybody remembers what I'm going to be talking about. All right, first of all, Broadway musicals. Okay, we're all nodding our heads, yes, but we're not talking about Six or anything that's recent. All right. How about movie musicals? We've all seen a few of those, right? All right, here we go. We're casting back Rodgers and Hammerstein. There we are. Now some more nods are happening. South Pacific. Nelly. From Rodgers and Hammerstein's musical, South Pacific, has a brief, but for me, it's a wonderful song about being a cockeyed optimist. The song looks at the world around her, from clouds in the sky to the image of the human race falling on its face, but she is a cockeyed optimist, and she won't give in to the pessimism that surrounds her. You see, the world around Nelly, like the world around us, is pressing in with fear and with opinions, yelling at us that we should only be with those who are like us, or that we should all have the exact same thoughts and opinions. Nelly's response to all that badgering and cajoling is hope. At the end of today's gospel reading, we have images that are disturbing and bring a lot of discomfort to many of us, because Jesus claims that he is not bringing peace, but a sword. He talks about setting parents against children and disrupting families and life. Now, these claims make me uncomfortable because they seem to fly in the face of everything else that Jesus has been teaching and doing and living since his ministry began in early Matthew. How can I read this chunk in the gospel and find hope? How can I read this and remain a cockeyed optimist? Last week in the gospel reading, Jesus was sending his disciples out to bring the good news of God's love to the people. Jesus was sending us as well. Now, our names may not have been included in the list with Peter and Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Philip, but Jesus still speaks our names as well and calls us to follow. Jesus calls us to be disciples. And so in today's gospel, Jesus is continuing the instructions he has for the disciples, the instructions he has as they go off. And in those instructions, Jesus reminds them that a disciple is not above the teacher. It is enough that the disciple be like the teacher. That is our calling. We follow Jesus. We get to live like Jesus, love like Jesus, help and care like Jesus does. We get to let Jesus live in and with and through us as we are able. And you see, that's the strength and the power in the message that we have in today's gospel reading. It's the good news that we get to hear today, because we don't have to look for which rules for which we have to abide or which people we should be ignoring. You see, the devil, the world, and our sinful selves will lead us to hide under bushels or blow out the light of love, hope, and peace. But instead, we are called to follow Jesus, to be like Jesus. As the gospel continues, Jesus goes on to tell us that God loves us and cares for us all. Even when the world is trying to cast us out, even when we are hidden under baskets, even as we're walking through dark places and valleys of shadow and death, God loves us, God cares for us, God knows us, and God is with us. Jesus then uses an incredible image to show us just how concerned God is about us. He says, God even knows the number of hairs on your head. Now, some of us make that easier than others of you, but that's how much God knows about you. That's how much God cares for you and loves you. He even knows how many hairs are on your head. And in the power of that knowledge, God is calling us to follow Jesus and to love our neighbors. Jesus is sending the disciples and he's sending all of us into a world with a message of love. And that world is so hungry for that message, so hungry for that love. We are called to bring food to the hungry, rest to the weary, hope for the forgotten. And God stands by us with guidance and strength, with peace and hope, with grace and mercy for us and for us to share. But now we get to the part of the gospel where my cockeyed optimist starts to wonder. Because after telling us about how much God loves us and cares for us, after reminding us that we have been called to be like Jesus, after all of that wonderful and amazing stuff, we hear about the sword. Now, I don't know about you, but swords can make me uncomfortable. Because swords are dangerous, deadly. They're made to cause harm and perhaps even destruction. And Jesus claims to be bringing a sword. It's difficult for me to wrap my head around that, or to wrap my head around anything that Jesus does that could be dangerous, harmful, or destructive. So this is where my optimism begins to shake. You see, as a weapon, a sword can be offensive or defensive. There are many people who want to look at Jesus and say that we need to be on the offensive and that we can still cast some people out, that we can leave others alone, and we can get along amongst ourselves just fine, thank you very much. A gladius, the sword of a Roman soldier, was a two-edged blade, and that's probably what Paul was thinking about when he was talking about the armor of God. But you see, in the armor of God that Paul describes, the sword is the word of God. I believe that the sword that Jesus brings is the love of God. That love of God that can comfort afflicted ones and afflict comfortable ones. This is the sword that Jesus brings. Jesus brings the love of God. But it's that love of God that can set fathers and sons at odds. It can bring families to their knees in struggle, as some believe and others don't, when one or some are all trying to live in love and faith and others see no need or just malign them, or when people try to shove faith down people's throats and cause more harm than good. It happens. Families fall against each other. Now, maybe you know a family like that. Maybe you're even part of a family like that. Or maybe you just feel the discomfort of all of that at work or among the other soccer or volleyball parents. You bring the love of God with you, never intending to hurt or destroy. And yet the reaction of others brings all of that to the fore. You see, in this ending to our gospel today, Jesus is warning the disciples as they start their mission. Jesus is warning us today and every day that this world will resist all efforts for God's love to take hold. This world will resist all efforts for God's dream to be made real. What this world wants to keep dark and hidden, what the world wants to cast aside and tuck away, God's love shines a light and proclaims loudly, not in accusation, but rather in care and mercy, bringing peace as is possible. The disciples needed this warning. We need this realistic warning that no matter how well intended, our following Jesus may bring mothers and daughters at odds, and yet the truth is, we need to tell that story anyway. You see, the sword we are handed is God's love. The sword we carry is the life of Jesus, his actions, and his teaching. The sword we bring into the world is the story of God's love for us all and our part in that story. Now, like Jeremiah, we may be met with mocking and derision. We may look like laughingstocks. But with the presence of God beside us every day, we can sing praise to God and share the presence of Jesus in all that we do. We get to tell the story. We get to live the story. We get to share the story. We get to continue the story of God's love for all people. That sword may bring division for a time, but that sword also brings with it peace and hope. It brings a spot of sunshine through the clouds. Even with the sword that Jesus brings, we can walk into the world with the story of God's love on our tongues and the reality of that love in our living, and we can join Nelly as a cockeyed optimist. When the sky is a bright canary yellow, I forget every cloud I've ever seen, so they call me a cockeyed optimist, immature and incredibly green. I have heard people rant and rave and bellow that we're done and we might as well be dead. But I'm only a cockeyed optimist and I can't get it into my head. I hear the human race is falling on its face and hasn't very far to go. But every whippoorwill is selling me a bill, and I'm telling you it just ain't so. I could say life is just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart. But I'm stuck like a dope with this thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart. May the grace, the peace, the optimism, the hope that comes from the love of God in Jesus our Lord fill your every day. And may we follow Jesus into the world, carrying that love and sharing the story wherever we go. Amen.